Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Lisa Ackman worked as a Democratic advocate and lobbyist for more than 20 years in Washington, D.C. In fact, she says that she had a cult-like devotion to Democrats and their policy goals. Now she says she has escaped this progressive cult. Her story is coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you're joining us again today, moms. Each week, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. All right, well, let's talk about today's program here. Lisa Ackman was raised by old school liberal parents, and she embraced their politics wholeheartedly. It is no surprise that she cried the night of 2016 during that presidential election, feeling certain that President Trump would set our country back decades. Now she says that President Trump's reelection can unify the country, but only if we can help people on the left reclaim their minds. Lisa is the author of Deprogramming Democrats. This is all about her journey out of the radical left. Welcome, Lisa, to the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad to have you joining us. We're going to have a very interesting conversation today.
Well, thank you, Debbie. I'm so happy to be here. You know, Moms for America is a fabulous, fabulous organization. And I think exactly what the country needs to help it get back on track. So I'm really excited about our conversation today.
Thank you. It does really begin in the home with the moms. We are so concerned about our kids, their future, our families in America. So we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, which is kind of like many of us came from the old school Democrat, maybe like a JFK Democratic Party. I was in the city of Chicago, and that's what everybody was. They were all Democrats, and there was no options for Republicans. You were raised in a Democratic family and fully embraced that. But we know that it has fundamentally changed. The party is not what it was at all. So let's talk a little bit about this. Your family, Democrats, kind of adopted their political beliefs as you grew up?
Yeah, my parents, I would describe them as hippies who didn't do drugs. You know, they were all about like, you know, freedom and very skeptical of the government when I was a kid. And, you know, I relate a story in the book, Deprogramming Democrats, about that I remember when I found out that the ACLU, an organization I used to be a member of and respect, defended the Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois, which is, we were from Chicago. And I was very upset about this. And my parents, you know, said to me, Lisa, if our right to speak freely is only as free and secure as everybody else's, and especially the people who we abhor. And so we were free speech absolutists. And that's how people on the left used to be. They understood that our rights are only as secure as everybody's rights. And the minute that you cede that power to the government, then someone gets to decide. And maybe at the moment you like the person who gets to decide, but what if it's someone you don't? So you never want to cede that right. And these are really our God-given mm-hmm. rights, our natural born rights that are enshrined in our Constitution. So that is what the ACLU used to be. But now the ACLU is defending people who want to force other people to use pronouns that they, for religious or scientific reasons, believe are incorrect. So they're trying to force speech and not protecting everyone's free speech. So
yeah, for sure.
That's an example of the evolution that we have really seen on the left, Debbie.
Absolutely. So you were deprogrammed, and your journey has led you to this point. Let's talk a little bit about you had your parents' values. You became a very hardcore Democrat, really kind of championing their policies, their principles, their legislation. Tell us a little bit about where you were in the Democratic Party.
Sure. I like to say that I made my way to the outside of the inner circles in the Democratic Party. I was a
Okay.
Democratic advocate and lobbyist for about 20 years. I ostensibly was nonpartisan, but everything I advocated on behalf of people with disabilities. And often that you end up working with Democrats a lot more than you do with Republicans, simply because the main focus is often to increase funding for programs. Whether those programs are successful, whether those programs actually help people
Right.
become more independent, you're trying to get more money, and that ends up being, mostly Democrats. So I would be at meetings with the, Speaker Pelosi when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House. I would be at fundraisers with her. She would recognize me that moment because an aide would probably whisper my name in her ear to tell her where I was from. But it wasn't like she called me up and said, "Hey, Lisa, let's go have a coffee or a drink." So that's kind of where I was. But I was in meetings at the White House with top White House officials during Democratic administrations, working with appointees. I worked directly for an appointee in the Obama administration at one of the agencies. I worked on detail from that agency for Senator Ted Kennedy for a while. So I was with, a lot of the champions of the left. And I was.
How would you describe yourself? Were you considered like a proud feminist? Were you, what, how would you have described yourself? Progressive, ultra liberal?
I would have always called myself a liberal. And today I would say I was a classical liberal in most
Yeah.
ways. I would have said I was a hardcore feminist, something that I certainly would describe myself differently now, in that regard as well. And we could talk about that if you'd like. But I would have described myself as a liberal. I was pretty far liberal. I still, though,
Yeah.
had some views that were to the right of some in the party. Immigration is an example which we could talk about if you wanted, but I think again, we
I
were.
just kind of want to get an idea of where you were personally and what you were championing, because you also, as you talked about being a feminist, you also, did you buy into the feminist view of marriage, of men, of once you start having children, you then become a prisoner in your own home? And where were you on some of these things?
I was definitely there. I bought the lie 100%.
Okay.
I thought, and this isn't true for all women, but I kind of felt like I had to become a man or more like a man to succeed, and that the impact that I could have outside of the home was so much more important than anything that could happen inside of a home that I was willing to give up and any shot at having a family in order to pursue my career. And that's what I did. I do not have children and of my own. And I, as I say, I bought the lie, and because I
Yeah.
don't think that is the truth. I think the truth of it is that there's pretty much nothing more meaningful than you can do, and more impactful on the future of this planet than to raise good, moral humans,
Yeah.
to continue on the species. So, but yeah, I was a hardcore feminist. Although I should say, when I was younger, my parents didn't raise me to hate men, and they also didn't raise me to think that men were valueless, which I think a lot of the younger feminists, that's really what they believe. And they definitely did not raise me to believe that we were the same. They raised me to believe that men and women are different, and that's the beauty of it, and that we can complement each other, and we should. I think, though, I was a competitive debater in high school, which was 95% probably male. And so any female trait was a trait of weakness as opposed to a trait of strength in that environment. And when I went to school, it was sort of the same thing. And so I think that experience sort of led me to really reject the more beautiful feminine qualities of, kindness and softness and nurturing and all the things that make women
The
great
gifts that
mothers.
we have, right,
Exactly. The gifts from the
as a
creator.
female.
Yeah, that,
Yeah.
and the ultimate gift of creating life. I rejected all of those things. So
Yeah. And, it's kind of like we all know this. Sometimes who you hang out with, you become more and more like, right? We all know that our surroundings affect us. And so, you came from an incredible education, right? Northwestern University. We're talking about master's degree from University of Def Denver, law degree from Georgetown University. You are very educated. And I kind of wonder sometimes when people are so educated in a way, why don't they recognize the socialistic, communistic influence in the party? Because it's very blatant and it's not hard to see or discover.
Well, I think, that is where the indoctrination comes in,
Yeah,
Debbie, and that's
that's right.
really what it is. It is our education system is not designed to teach people to think. It's not designed to teach people to think critically, and it's not designed to get people
Correct,
to
yeah.
ask questions. It is designed to create compliant workers who will show up, do what they are told, regurgitate the information that they are told to regurgitate, and to not cause trouble, to be good citizens,
Fall in line,
fall
fall
in
in line.
line. And
Carry the message.
over time, what has happened, and you can see this, and I talk about this a lot in the book, is that most of your professors at college are Democrats. Over 90%
Sure.
are on the left. So what happens is indoctrination relies a lot on a reward and punishment system. And what happens is you get rewarded for spewing back the left line, the socialist, communist, government is always the answer. I'm going to put my faith in these experts, as opposed to my faith in the creator and the tradition and all of the knowledge that has been passed on generation to generation. I'm going to put it in the government and these experts. And so
Yeah.
you get punished if you stray from that message. And so
Right.
that's why.
Right. And they're programmed, like just according to your book and everything else, as we look as society, they have programmed the children. You started in the college, the university's gone all the way down to kindergarten now, programming the kids
It sure
in the
is.
public school. And so it's a very powerful medium, education. And they trust their teachers and they're in that environment. I know you had an incredible great awakening, but as you were in this world, and here you're in Washington, D.C., right, for 20 something years,
Correct.
advocating for liberal policies. Like you said, you're in the heat of it all. You really thought you had also not only bought in with the Democrats and their position and their ideology, you also bought that the Republicans were the racists and they were the extremists, and all that came with this bundle that you were trying to figure out in your mind.
Yeah, it really, really did. And I think it's important to understand that when you are in a cult, when you are indoctrinated,
So let's say that again now. So you call this a cult.
I do. I call it a cult, and people say, well, who's the cult leader? Well, they idolize the expert and they worship authority. So it isn't a single individual, but they are worshiping anyone in
Wow.
authority, they worship. They raise above. You can't question an expert. You can't say, well, what if that expert's wrong? Because they're an expert. And you'll see this all the time on social media when you try to have a conversation with someone on the left. Well, who's your source? And if it's not a certified, educated expert, then they'll dismiss it out of hand, even if it's something that they've seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. That's different. They're going to follow Anthony Fauci, for example,
Yeah.
regardless of the
Right.
fact that what he's saying makes no
With
sense.
limited information, literal limited legacy, information on anything, a lot of times it's just like, well,
Yeah, because they're
because they
going to
said.
listen. And that's exactly, it gets them to do exactly what they've been programmed to do,
That's right.
is parrot what they have heard, repeat it back, not ask any questions. And it all relies on creating a culture of fear. And I think that's one of the things that is really important to understand. When you make people afraid enough, their critical thinking shuts down and they will do whatever it is you tell them to do so that they will
Right.
feel safe.
Well, we saw that with COVID,
We
right?
did 100%.
That was the greatest experiment of all time because everyone was so afraid in that beginning, and they were able to run rampant with that without science or studies, or, we knew that, as time went on, that's, 6 foot rule or staying indoors or all this stuff, and then censoring everyone. Censoring on the mainstream. You could not, I mean, here at Moms for America, I can't tell you how many times we were penalized for asking a question about the vaccine or COVID or anything. Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
And
You
that
shut us down.
the tools really they used are that I talk about a lot in the book are the indoctrination through the schools and then propaganda and censorship. And so the censorship piece, and again, indoctrination relies on restriction of information from opposing viewpoints. And so this happens in schools with only liberal professors. We talked
Opposing
about that a
viewpoints,
little
right?
bit too. But when you have every news station not only reporting the same thing, but using the exact same words to report it,
Yeah.
then the people who are members of this cult will then repair
It's very
it.
powerful.
It is.
Clearly,
It's
it
very
clearly it's very
powerful.
powerful.
And
Yeah.
again, when you are afraid, the only thing your brain allows you to do is try to get yourself safe.
All right, more is coming up with Lisa Ekman and how she escaped what she calls a progressive cult right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning, from free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual, authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share our podcast with the moms that you know, with your friends. This is how we get our podcast out and all of our information. So again, please like, subscribe, and share. Be a part of the movement here. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I would love to hear from you and any of your suggestions. And lastly, I want to invite all of the moms that are listening. Boy, if it's your first time here, welcome. But if you've been listening on a regular basis, I really hope that you've joined our movement, our sisterhood here at Moms for America. How do you sign up? Why? It's really simple. You go to momsforamerica.us. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can check out all of our programs, our seminars, our webinars, all of our resources. There's quite a few forms that you can fill out there. We can contact you and help you in your community, in your state. So go ahead, go to momsforamerica.us and please sign up. We are moms all across this country uniting together. We're fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So we would love to have you, moms. All righty. Now it's time to get back to our interview. Let's talk about this afraid because parents are afraid their kids are going to get taken away, right? Husbands are afraid they're going to lose their jobs. Moms are going to afraid that, they won't be able to teach or train or raise their kids. It is very fear driven. And when you can intimidate moms and families and people that they're going to lose their jobs, it gets really difficult. So many people have spoken up. Look at you. You're going to share your pivotal point and how things changed. It's so funny how our journey seem like it's going to be on one path, and then something happens, you know, as God does, and He reveals, He realigns, He kind of takes the blinders off, and you see things differently. But fear is a big factor on this. But you overcame all this, although I know that you had a hard time once you kind of adjusted. What happened? I mean, what happened in your life that you went to being a feminist, a liberal, progressive woman in the work industry in DC to now super conservative, of more traditional, and writing a book about how you have to deprogram Democrats.
Well, it was COVID related. I do need to give a little background because prior to COVID, I lost both of my parents within a span of a couple of years. And my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 of an extremely aggressive cancer. And I did some research for her because she said, I want to live. She was given the get your affairs in order, you may have months, you know, to live
Oh,
speech
I'm
from the
sorry.
doctor. Thank you. And she came to me and she said, I'm going to do traditional treatment, but if there's anything else I could do, I'll do it. I want to live. I want to be here to see my grandchildren grow up. I want to see how my kids turn, you know, lives turn out. So I did a bunch of research and I found a couple of books that were amazing. And she changed her diet. She changed everything she put in and on her body. She changed the way she was dealing with stress. She worked at meditation, all these things. And before she finished her first round of chemo, she was cancer-free, gone.
Wow.
Stage 4 cancer completely eliminated. And so her doctor, you know, had never seen anything like it, but kind of poo-pooed all the changes she made. And she ended up getting a very small lump growth that came back, took one round of chemo, and it killed her. It fried her kidneys, and she died of kidney failure. And so many cancer deaths are actually chemo poisoning deaths. That's a
Yes, I've heard
topic
this over and over
for
again, yeah.
another discussion, but that kind of put some cracks in my head about our what I will now call our sick care system, Debbie, because
Right.
it's not about
You're right.
prevention, it's not about keeping us healthy, it's about treating our symptoms so we become lifelong patients and feed the medical
Pharmaceutical, medical
pharmaceutical
industry, yeah.
industrial complex. It's like the military industrial complex, but different. So anyway, fast forward to COVID.
So you started kind of doing your own investigation.
I did, and there were some cracks, you know, in the wall that hit the dam that held back the flood of truth from my brain about what is true about our government agencies. But I then went back and worked again. And so I kind of had to put those aside because I actually worked with Health and Human Services. I worked with the CDC on things. I worked with the NIH on different things.
Oh, yeah, you're in the
So
thick of
I
it.
was. So I had to put that aside. But co fast forward to COVID, and I had not been dating for very long. My fiance, who you know, was not he was not political. He was not liberal, not conservative. He was sort of his own mind and thinker, which I think is a fine place to be for anyone to just be thinking about and asking questions. And when COVID hit, he never bought the fear narrative. He never bought into it. You know, he doesn't get sick. He's a very healthy person. And he's like, I don't see why this should affect my life at all. I'm going to be healthy. And as we now find out, if you're a healthy person, you know, most healthy people, COVID didn't negatively impact. In,
Right.
you know, you were, it's a very low percentage. But at any rate, so he and I were fighting every day, fighting all the time, you know, and
So you started dating him.
I started dating him in 2019.
Okay,
And
so
I,
you
so
met
it,
him and he was kind of like more of an independent thinker. Here you're left. So now in your journey, you're starting to discuss some of maybe culture
culture.
policies.
Yeah. And I mean, I at one point he asked me a question, do you think all Republicans are racist? And without really missing too much of a beat, I said to him, yeah, I guess you kind of have to be at least a little bit. And so we started talking about things like that, and to him, that
He
was
started
really,
challenging a little bit of your thinking, huh?
yeah, he kind of did, but not super hard. It was
Right.
just sort of, in the conversation. So fast forward to March of 2020, I had decided to retire because I had really gotten tired of the DC game, as I'll call it.
Okay.
And I had scheduled, thanks to my higher power, my retirement for March 31st of 2020, which was right as the COVID 2 weeks to flatten the curve happened. We think
Okay.
back to that. So,
Yes.
I bought the fear narrative. I, got masks, which I never actually ended up wearing very much because of what I'm about to tell you, but I was, buying it, and we all need to do our part to, help protect people. And he didn't buy it at all. And he was continuing to do his work. So we were fighting about this pretty much every day. And that's when the censorship really started to happen. That's when people I respected from the natural health world started to get censored and were called the disinformation dozen and all of those kind of things. And so I was, that was starting to really bother me because of my First Amendment absolutist, and it's not just about freedom of speech for me. It's about freedom of association, freedom of movement, and then freedom of religion, and all of these God-given rights enshrined in the First Amendment all being thrown away. And there is no public health emergency exception to our Constitution. I just want everyone to be really clear
Good
on all
point. That's right. A lot of people won't talk about this, and it is so true.
this. So all of this gone, and then we're having.
Especially when you're in Illinois and they keep extending it for years and years and years, right?
Yeah, I mean, I originally grew up in the Chicago area. So yeah,
Right.
100%. So combine that with the fact I see all these people who I would have said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not an expert. Why are you even opening your mouth? Are telling people to research for themselves. And all of the people I thought were the good guys are just shutting down conversation, saying that the
Okay.
government has the right to tell you what is true and what is real. All right. And then you add on this, Jamie, my fiance, and I are fighting back and forth and back and forth. And he is saying to me, if you don't believe me, go do your own research over and over again. And he's like, prove me wrong, prove me wrong. And then he asked me a question, and that question changed my entire life, Debbie. And he said to me, if they'll poison our water, Lisa, what won't they do? And my brain stopped because I knew that our tap water is poison. It's fluoride, it's chlorine. All the pharmaceutical drugs your neighbors are taking don't adequately get filtered out. And I knew this from all the research I had done for my mom. And my brain could not think its way out of this contradiction. Water is essential. It is makes up 70% of our body. If they will poison that, what won't they do? Why wouldn't they lock
So
us
you're
down?
taking this right.
And one of the things that I find among people on the left that is not true of conservatives and free thinkers is that they have the ability to hold a great deal of cognitive dissonance. They can hold a lot of ideas that just don't go together. And their brain somehow continues to function. And that was true of me as well. But this pushed my cognitive dissonance to the point that my brain literally broke. It couldn't do it. It
It
couldn't.
was the question that stumped you enough to then pull back and say, I am going to figure this out.
I have to know what's real, I have to know what's true. And I started doing my own research, and I went to some of those natural healers that I trusted and respected, and I, went down a lot of rabbit holes. And the biggest thing that it did for me is allowed me to ask questions again. It allowed me the freedom to
Public debate,
correct.
discussion in the town square, right? A chance for to really find out because really, and I think this is just a side note too, but what's good for one child or one home or one adult or what we everybody's not the same. I mean, if you have an autoimmune, highly credible autoimmune disease, the COVID vaccine could bring ramifications for you. You know, if you have cancer and you want to do it holistically and you want to do radi, I mean, where is the point for all of us to work through our own health care and our own decisions in our home?
Well, exactly. And, especially the federal government should not be deciding this.
Yeah,
No, the
I
federal
agree.
government, and, we could talk about have a whole other day to talk about how far from the vision of states' rights and local community control that our founders had for our republic we are these days.
Yeah.
But, so one
They do not want us to become independent thinkers. That's obviously very clear.
Yeah, very clear. The more you question, the less you're going to allow the government to continue to expand and take away our control over our own lives and our own decisions and our own families. So,
So, in your journey of investigating, how many years was this? Kind of like a evolution, or is this something that all of a sudden the kind of the blinders went off and you're like, okay, I'm questioning everything now. Where, how did it go? How did that go?
yeah, I think 2020 was a lot of I think feeling really lost, feeling like
Right.
everything I
This.
thought was real is not. I can't trust any of this, control. I can't of the control of the narrative. I can't trust if they're lying about this, what else have they lied to me about? And the idea that, there is this moral superiority that people on the left feel, that they feel they have a right to make decisions for other people because they know better, because they're experts. You become
Yeah.
an expert yourself by going to school and getting the certification. So I know better than you, even though I may have never have met you and I know nothing about your actual circumstances. I know
Right.
better and I have a right to tell you what you can do as a
Yeah.
result. And I had to come to terms with
Yeah.
years that I spent with that attitude. And so 2020 and early 2021 were extremely hard for
Yeah.
me because of that. And I really did start questioning everything I knew, every piece of knowledge, so-called facts that had been spewed at me. I became very aware of the fact that government agencies' data is not really to be trusted without some investigation. And I can give you a perfect example.
Yeah, give us one.
So in 2020, well, in 2024, all of the employment statistics every single month were revised downward the next month, in so much that one month, they said there was a gain of 150,000 jobs, and the next month it was revised down to a loss of 6,000 jobs. If you look at the job numbers
Explain this
themselves,
game. Explain the game to our moms.
so basically what happens is they have some estimates, they have different data sets that they use in order to put this together, and I don't want to waste a lot of time going into what they are. But they basically put out this number, say we've gained 1 million jobs based on these estimates and plus these data sets. Then they get actual data and they revise those numbers. And so they revise those numbers down, but they continue using the first number when they do the totals of how many jobs were gained. So we hear that you created 1.5 million jobs, but if you take out the revisions, that is not true. Okay. And
Exactly.
so all of these things, the way they presented data about COVID, same thing.
Yeah, so you've got your tentacles kind of in all these areas now, evaluating, and you just came to a point where you're like, this isn't the way what they're saying isn't reality.
But they do a great job through
Yeah.
propaganda and narrative
Sure do.
control. And if any of your viewers of this podcast have never looked into Operation Mockingbird, I highly suggest that you do, because they have their tentacles in every legacy mainstream media,
Yeah.
Hollywood, music, and supposedly they shuttered this program, but it never has been. And so when someone says, "Oh, it sounds like the media got the 4 a.m. talking points," it's not a joke. They
Yeah,
actually
sure has.
do. When every station is using the same word to describe something, it's because they were told that's the word you're supposed to use.
Yeah, sure
And
is.
so by changing language, and we could talk about that a little bit if you want, by calling a gene therapy treatment that doesn't create immunity or stop transmission a vaccine, by changing the definition of a vaccine, you control what people believe and you control reality. And that is
Yeah.
what has happened in so many areas of our society. And I know we'll probably get into this about the Cultural Revolution, but that is a
Yeah.
big part of how you create a cultural revolution.
Yeah. The Cultural Revolution. So let's talk about your kind of now your journey. You end up, and how many years ago? So this was what, 5 years ago? This journey for you?
A 5 year, it started a little bit over 5 years ago.
Yeah. And so now you write a book because your concern is talk about a cultural revolution is you want to get the word out to women, men, whatever that may be, your message of critical thinking, looking at how you've been programmed. And so you decided to write this book. Tell us about the book real quick.
Sure. So the book, it's called Deprogramming Democrats and Uneducating the Elites: How I Escaped the Progressive Cult. And
I mean, that's like a big title and subtitle. I mean, that's packed. And no, I
it's
mean packed with
yeah.
powerful words and incredible message.
And I chose them really carefully, Debbie,
I'm sure.
because I think it's really important that people who are on the left understand that they are in a cult, and that they have been programmed using fear in order to believe certain things. Identity politics is a huge example of how they
Yeah.
have used fear to program people to believe certain things that are just not true.
Yeah.
And I believe
And you put it all in this
I
book. You
put it
put all
all in the
these
book.
thoughts.
I did. And the idea was to help conservatives understand what they're up against, help everyone understand how we got where we are. Because, the left is not the left I grew up with. Like
Yeah.
many people who have left the Democratic Party, I say I didn't leave the Democratic Party, it left me. It became radicalized by people who believe in deconstruction of our United States government to replace it with a government based on equity, which is completely at odds with individual liberty. And you cannot have
So well said,
individual
yeah.
liberty and equity at the same time, because I can't be free if you'd get to decide what happens to what I can create and earn. And that's the only way you'll ever have equity, is if some people have the power to take away from people what they have created and earned and give it to other people who have not created and earned it. And
Yeah.
so,
Wow. Very well said. Yeah.
yeah, so I wrote this book to let people understand what really is at stake here.
Yeah, it's kind
And
of like pulling back the curtain and seeing like all of the mechanics of it and how of, just to see like the back end of something.
it is, and they've done such a fantastic job of hiding it.
Yeah.
They
Yeah.
couch it in compassion. And I think this is
Always
another
have,
thing
yeah.
to understand. The people
My
on the
husband has
left,
always said that always they, well, of course, men and women look at everything so much different. And that's why your story, I've heard this 100, if not 100 times. Liberal, progressive woman meets a man and he just starts talking about things, maybe reasonably, factually. We're emotional. And this is, this is why we tend to go towards maybe the left side of this. That's why women tend to vote Democratic and men tend to vote Republican. It's kind of like how our gears go, our tendencies. But when we challenge one another and we can have free discussion and, like you said, meet someone that asks good questions, we can actually get somewhere on really what we believe instead of what we've been programmed to believe.
That's 100%. And you can get at someone's true compassion instead of the compassion that has
Yes.
been weaponized
Weaponized,
in
yeah.
using fear into anger.
Yeah.
And it works extremely well, especially at women who have decided not to have children, because they take that nurturing instinct and they apply it to other people's children. And they have been told with this selective compassion who it's okay to have this compassion towards. And that is
Wow, Lisa.
who they define as particularly vulnerable or particularly oppressed, marginalized communities. And so that's where why a woman is willing to cede her rights as a woman to a transgender, quote unquote, person who is a man, because she has been told he, rather than being someone who is part of the patriarchy, as they would say, he is someone who is more oppressed and more vulnerable than you are. And therefore, you're going to stick up for his rights as opposed to your own. It is why, and so you can see that this is what they do. They
Yeah.
weaponize this compassion,
They sure do with women.
and they tell you that.
Yeah, we've let men take over our sports.
Oh yeah, I mean
We've let
100%.
men be in our locker room. How, what, you kind of like, what in the world? And it is packaged in compassion and understanding and being, and of course, we do want to understand because these are some very intense situations, but we are not going to compromise, our sports, our children's spaces, our privacy, or protecting our women. But they do really have a way of, I've never heard someone say it like that. When you take the compassion, and especially if you haven't had kids, you put all that nurturing into an agenda, really, is what you're saying.
Correct. And you combine that with the fact that most of these people don't have a relationship with their creator. They don't have a relationship with God. And so none of the things that we understand to be natural or right mean anything to them. And this is where it gets back to what I was saying before about manipulating language. It's so powerful. When you define a woman to include men, then reality is completely changed, and the traditional gender roles no longer mean anything
Yeah,
because
once there is not an absolute, there's nowhere to go from. There's not an absolute. There's not a truth.
exactly.
In closing here, I just want to have you give us some words of advice, because how do we deprogram our kids? How do we deprogram this culture that has been programmed quite successfully from the left?
So it's not an easy answer. I wish I had a
Yeah.
playbook. But I think one of the things that you're trying to do is get the person to ask questions again. That's the very basis of it. You need to recognize you're not going to be able to tell them anything. It doesn't matter if an expert who has credentials tells them X equals not X, they are not going to believe you. But you have to ask questions to them. And you have to ask questions that do a few things. One, asking questions shows them that you care about their opinion, you care about them,
You're willing to
and
listen.
you're willing to listen, which gets rid of one of the main things they've been programmed to believe, and that is that conservatives don't care about other people, that they don't care about these vulnerable people, they don't care about anyone but themselves. This is part of the programming. They're racist, they're sexist, they're homophobes, they're, all of the isms and the phobias and all of that. So you care about their opinion. The second thing it does is you can ask questions, and these questions can't presume an answer, or they can't presume facts in the question. Because then again, if it didn't come from an expert and you're contradicting what an expert said, they're not going to, it shuts off their ability to actually hear you because of the programming. So, an example is what, my fiance asked me, well, if they'll poison our water, because he knew I believed that to be true, what won't they do? So it's figuring out what this person is compassionate about, thinking about how did this compassion get twisted, and what questions can I ask
Yep.
that show and
Great
validate
advice.
this person. At the same time, it gets them to allow themselves to think and question. And I could spend a whole hour just talking through different
Yep.
issues about how you can do this. But
And it's all in your book, I'm guessing.
it is. I don't go into specific issues in the book because everybody's going to have a different
Right.
reason they got
A different take.
radicalized. So it's going to be a different issue. But yeah, it's in the book. And understanding a lot of the characteristics of people on the left, which I spend some good time detailing in the book, also will help you think about what questions you might be able to ask. And again, we have,
I think that's it.
yeah,
Asking those questions,
we,
really challenging people. And like your fiance said to you, do your own investigation. But I mean, you've got to be careful because Google and a lot of this stuff, but dig deep. And there are so many resources now. There are so many organizations. And again, if you go to Moms for America, we have everything you can imagine there because we really do want to have great resources. And there's so much available. It doesn't have to be one-sided anymore. You can dig through it all and you can really find out what's happening.
100%. It all starts with
Yeah.
the giving yourself the permission
Yeah.
to think differently and to ask questions.
That's great.
And
It's great, Lisa.
and people are waking up every day too. I want to just say optimistically, if I could wake up, anyone can. I was so in it. If I could do it,
Yeah.
anyone can. It
I
just
love that.
takes one
Courage,
right
some kind of
question,
courage, too.
a lot of
Yeah.
courage. People on the left rely on external validation a lot for their sense of self, especially again if they don't have a relationship with the creator. And so the thought of sticking out and being ostracized and being shunned
Yeah.
or being
Just because you have a different thought or a
correct.
different opinion or a different party that you
Correct.
vote. I mean, think about how crazy that is. But Lisa, tell people where they can find your book, please.
So it is on Amazon. It is also on Barnes and Noble, and you can check out my website at deprogrammingdemocrats.com.
Well, thank you for your time today. What an interesting conversation. Thanks for using your voice and just sharing truth. That's what we want to do is really just share truth.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I, speak truth, ask questions, follow the money, and shine light everywhere you go.
Love that. What a great wrap up. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa, for that great conversation. Again, check out Lisa's information, get her book. And as always, we need to be talking about all of these things with our family, with our friends, in our community here in this culture. So ask the questions, like Lisa said. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for being a part of this program. Again, for more information for Moms for America, please go to momsforamerica.us. Check out all of our amazing programs, resources, seminars, webinars, everything that you need. Moms, we're here to support you on your journey through motherhood. And also, we have a lot, an incredible library of Moms for America podcasts. Comes out every Tuesday, but boy, we've got an incredible library there as well. Go to momsforamerica.us and again, join the sisterhood here. And as we always say, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America, we have it all for you, Mom. So we're here to help you, support you in your journey through motherhood. All right, moms, I'm going to see you next week. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. God bless, and I will talk with you soon. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and TUVU. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.